Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. So I'm curious, just give me a show of hands. Hymns are either familiar to a person or unfamiliar to a person. And that depends on precisely which congregation you grew up in. So the song that we sang at the beginning of the service, I Sing a Song of the Saints of God, who is that a familiar song for? Anybody? A handful? And unfamiliar for the rest? Fair enough, okay. So that's one that for sure is either like super familiar to you or completely unknown. So good work, everybody, on the completely unknown song. We sang a song of the saints of God because in just a moment, Warren is going to read us a scripture reading about the saints of God, and this will all tie very tightly and well together, so just trust me on that. Then, during the sermon time, I'm going to invite you to tell somebody else about a saint who went before you, someone whose faith has shaped either your faith or has shaped the world that you live in. So we're going to give you some chance for conversation during the sermon time this morning. So that's your cue to check out for a while from listening to what I say so that you can plan what you're going to say. So while you're doing that, I'm going to tell you about my grandmother, Rosemary. I was in Delaware this last week for Grandma's funeral. And here's just a little piece of what I said about Grandma. That's Grandma. Grandma, her maiden name was Stewart with a W, S-T-E-W-A-R-T. This is important because that's this kind of Stewarts, and they're the fancier ones. The S-T-U-A-R-Ts are not nearly as fancy as we are. You need to know this to understand my grandmother. My grandmother was very, very proud of the heritage that she owned and passed along to others. So I got the impression growing up, because our last name was Stewart, and that's the royal Stewarts, as in Mary Stewart, you need to know her. I got the understanding from Grandma growing up that we, the royal Stewarts, had been Scottish and Presbyterian, like, since Adam. Later did I figure out that Mary Stuart was Mary, Queen of Scots, who persecuted the Presbyterians and put many of them to death. And that lady right there grew up Southern Methodist. But Grandma loved the heritages that she inherited, that she was able to pass along to others, whether she inherited them through the family that she was born into. She didn't marry a Presbyterian either. She married a Southern Baptist. That's why we're Presbyterian. But she loved to pass down lessons and heritage, and you heard stories that contained important life lessons, and they were often stories that were told in rich detail about people you had no connection to whatsoever, but you needed to know who that person was. And my grandma embodied servant leadership. That's a churchy term, right? And what we mean by servant leadership is that the leadership that you offer is a form of service to those around you. And that's what Grandma did. She sat for the past, like the last 15 years of her life, after my grandpa died, she vacated the pew that they had shared together and sat, the sanctuary of their church had double doors right at the back of the sanctuary that led out into the narthex, and she sat on an office chair at that back door to greet everyone coming in with a hug and to excuse everyone going out with a hug. Now, the kids only got one hug every Sunday because they would skip the going out hug and go to cookies instead. But the coming in hug, everybody got. Because she said when she joined Limestone Presbyterian Church 3 years after its founding, the church is the same age as Covenant. When she joined Limestone Presbyterian Church, she said, I want this to be a hugging church. And by gum, she got the job done. So that's one of our saints who looked ahead at a hugging church that stands in this long legacy of Scottish Presbyterians, whether we are one or not. And she decided to hand that legacy down to me, and now you get a little piece of it. So there she is.
Just as a footnote, I lost my grandmother Pitcher in 1962, and I wonder if your grandmother, like my grandmother, Nathan, wore Estee Lauder perfume to the point that the next day I still remembered having been hugged and kissed by my grandmother Pitcher. Woo! I don't know. I think she bathed, but maybe she was trying to cover up some other issue. But I think her grandmother Pitcher, Grandma Pitcher, it's that Estee Lauder just, oh, knocked me out. And Claudia doesn't wear perfume to this day, so I've gone from one extreme to the other. Enough said. This morning's scripture reading is from the New Testament, Hebrews 11, 1-16, found on pages 273-274 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. And it is rather lengthy, so why don't I give you folks a break, and why don't you just follow along with me as I read it. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many of the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So today is not only the Sunday before Covenant Sunday, but it is the Sunday before Covenant Sunday because this is Labor Day weekend. So you're going to hang on to a little tiny Labor Day connection in here because we're talking about faith today. We've been moving through the book of Hebrews, getting some sense of kind of who God is in relation to this community in the early church, and so getting a sense of who God is in relation to us as people of faith today. And we're talking about faith today. And one thing that we need to know about faith as we talk about it is that faith is not sort of an abstract idea. Faith has real, honest content that has to take shape in our lives. Faith matters because the way that we live has an impact on the world, and what we put our faith in shapes the way that we live. So the life of faith that we live actually changes the world around us. And that's what there's more to this chapter, by the way, from the book of Hebrews, bears witness to as it looks back. It looks back at the legacy of the saints of the Old Testament, the saints of God's promises throughout the ages. And over again, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and on down through the generations, we see those who are faithful to what God has promised. And the content of our faith, well, it doesn't have to be what God has promised. We can put our faith in any of a number of things, right? But these saints of the Old Testament have put their faith in what God has promised. And that faith in what God has promised is what sets them apart from the world around them. So Abel and Enoch and Noah, they are all celebrated for their faith in this chapter in a way that sets them apart from their contemporaries. They had faith in God that actually changed the way they lived relative to those who were around them. Abraham and Sarah, they had faith in God's promise, not in contrast to their contemporaries necessarily, but in contrast to the remoteness of that promise, this promise that they could only see at this great distance that eventually God brings into being through them. But that faith always points to something specific. And faith points to something specific in a way that actually brings into focus what it is that faith points to. I said this wasn't abstract. That came out really abstract, didn't it? See, the things that we do, the ways that we live, actually point to, if you look at us carefully, they point to where we think we're headed. They point to who it is that we trust in. It's like the receiver going down the field, running toward where he's confident the ball is going to be, even before the ball has left the hand of the quarterback. That's what faith is like, expanded to the level of our everyday lives. And I said that this is a Labor Day sermon in part because whether or not you're going back to work on Tuesday, or perhaps you're one that has to go back to work later today or tomorrow even, regardless of whether or not you're going back to a paid employment, the things that we do on an everyday basis actually do shape the world around us. And so I want to celebrate that today by inviting you to tell someone about someone else who has shaped the world through a life of faith. This could be a saint who has come before you in your family that someone sitting near you doesn't know. This could be a charter member of this congregation whose name is now on a plaque out in the memory courtyard. It could be someone that you simply know about, that the stories that you've heard about them have shaped the way that you think about what it is to be a person of faith. So I want to invite you to just find somebody. It doesn't have to be somebody you came with. It can be somebody sitting near you or far from you. But just very quickly, give just a little snapshot. Who is this person? Who are they? And ideally, how are they related to you? And then what is distinctive about their life that brings them to mind when we talk about the saints who have gone before us? What's distinctive about their life? And how did their faith shape the world around them? Take just a couple minutes, find someone and tell them. Okay. Now, you know that thing you do as an icebreaker, right? Where you sit down next to somebody and they introduce themselves to you, and then you stand up and introduce them to the rest of the group. I want, to check our time here, I want two volunteers to introduce a saint you just heard about.
Barbara was telling me about the man who led her through most of her missions work. And
Wonderful. What did you learn about him?
Well, he gave up a bank job to be a missionary and to lead all the young people.
Oh, terrific. Mm-hmm. Terrific. So sometimes faith calls us to set something aside for something that isn't appealing in the same way as the thing we're setting aside, but that is actually serving a purpose beyond what that was, yeah, in that particular life. Bev.
I'll use it.
Yes.
All right.
It's not for you, it's for them.
Got it. So I just wanted to share with you that Bruce, believe it or not, has a saint in his life who was his grandfather. And I think very important to all of us. I heard many people talking about grandparents and what a wonderful job that his grandpa had done. I said, I've heard a lot about your grandpa. Every story I hear of Bruce's growing up included his grandfather and all of the wonderful things that his grandfather did and what an impression he had made on Bruce. Believe it or not, there are people who make very positive, wonderful impressions on Bruce. So, but that was something that I said in including faith. And mm-hmm. he said, of course, he said, he's the one who you and Grandma took us to Mass or to parish. To service, sorry. to service, I forget what that's called. But I was very impressed because I know that's a special person in Bruce's heart.
Thank you so much. So this work of taking your grandkids to church, we just call it church, Bev. Taking your grandkids to worship. And can you imagine taking Bruce Anderson as a young person to church? Just, I tremble. Yeah. And the way that work, that gift of faith, has borne fruit not only in Bruce's life, but in the lives of those he has touched. The way that this banker who left his job to go train missionaries has borne fruit in Barb's life. The author of Hebrews recounts all of these saints, these Old Testament saints, the one I got to hear about, the ones you got to hear about, and now the ones that we got to hear about together. The author of Hebrews talks about all of these saints and then says, all of these died in faith without receiving the promises. If your saint is still alive, that's okay. But the author of Hebrews says all of these died in faith without receiving the promises. They participated in a reality that is beyond this present world and bore witness to something that is still coming into being, that is only just coming into being among us. And so in the same way, the promise is still growing in the lives of those we remember and still growing in the lives that we share together. So may it be fulfilled and completed in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the faith of those whose lives testified to a reality they could not yet see. And we give you thanks especially as that reality becomes a little bit more visible in our own lives. So make us faithful to your promises so that our lives today may bear substance and fruit in the lives of those who will follow us. We pray for your promises that we hope for and eagerly expect in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Well, our wheels are getting ready to roll, and we're going to be rolling to Tama this year for our Two Rivers Presbyterian bus ride, which is the first Saturday in October. Several of you have already received the application, the registration paperwork. I have more with me today, so give me a yell after church. We'll have them ready for you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.